Well, hey, what's going on, y'all? It's your host, the Magnificent TDK, a.k.a. Tafari XL, and you are tuned in to The Block Report. And on this special edition here, every edition, an episode is special, but because we strive to bring you original content and viewpoints, as far as some of the articles or topics we may speak on are not spoken of in the broader mainstream outlets, or it's just a blip, and we try to give certain nuances and insights to some of this information, or at least if we don't do that, at least get it out there so that and bring it to your attention, because I know some of you may be distracted by other things like work and paying bills and the fear of COVID. Or maybe you were distracted by that versus. And congratulations to the versus, the people that put together the versus and those artists getting their shine and all of that. But ultimately, that's good for entertainment. And yes, you don't want to be serious all the time, but we are in serious times. And really, you need to keep your eye on the prize and focused in what's going on out here. First bit of information. Well, before I start getting into some of the things that we're going to be talking about on this edition of The Block Report, do remember that you can email us at theblockreportpodcast@gmail.com. You can contact us on at The Block Report Podcast on Instagram, and you can reach out to me on Twitter at TafariXL, TafariXL. So if you have any questions, comments, suggestions, those are three ways you can reach out to us and communicate with the Block Report Podcast. Also, if wherever that you are listening to the podcast, whatever streaming network or entity, do subscribe to the podcast. Let's get our subscribership up. I see that people are listening, but subscribe, share the podcast, get the word out there. And then when you visit the Instagram page, follow the page, like, and comment on some of the articles and information that you see us posting. So let's get into some of the latest information that's going on out here. So I'm going to start with some of the more serious stuff. We're going to go into a few things here. So one right here is a more infectious strain of the virus has emerged in the UK. And while it's no more lethal, scientists say concerns are justified. So there's a new COVID strain. And this article here is from Al Jazeera. And they state that they have six key questions answered. I'm going to give, let's see. All right, because I have certain time constraints, but we're going to read this article. And just so you know, that this new strain was supposedly discovered in the UK, and the UK is now on more restrictive measures due to this new strain being discovered. And so, and at the same time, they're still heavily trying to roll out the vaccine with the new strain out there. So let's get into what the article is saying here. A new variant of the pandemic SARS-CoV-2 coronavirus is spreading rapidly in the United Kingdom and prompted high levels of concern among its European neighbors, some of which have cut transport links. The strain, referred to by some experts as the B.1.1.7 lineage, is not the first new variant of the pandemic virus to emerge, but is said to be up to 70% more transmissible than the previously dominant strain in the UK. Well, that should be some news to you there. I bet a lot of people did not know that there was more than one variant of the pandemic virus to emerge since this time. Many people have probably been thinking it's just been straight COVID-19, because you don't hear this being talked about in the widespread mainstream type of media and such. So question one, are concerns justified? Most scientists say yes. The new variant has rapidly become the dominant strain in cases of COVID-19 in parts of southern England and has been linked to an increase in hospitalization rates, especially in London and in the adjacent county of Kent. While it was first seen in Britain in September by the week of December 9th in London, 62% of COVID-19 cases were due to the new variant compared with 28% of cases 3 weeks earlier. So, two-thirds of the cases of the COVID-19 cases during the week of December 9th in London have been attributed to the new variant. Okay, the governments of Australia, the new variant of the virus. The governments of Australia, Italy, and the Netherlands say they detected cases of the new strain. It was identified in the Netherlands in early December. A few cases of COVID-19 with the new variant have also been reported to the ECDC, Europe's Disease Monitoring Agency, by Iceland and Denmark. So, it's popping up in other places in Europe. Media reports in Belgium say cases have also been detected there. It is right to take it seriously, said Peter Openshaw, a professor of experimental medicine at Imperial College London. Sean Fitzgerald, a visiting professor at the University of Cambridge, said the situation was extremely concerning. I'm sure. Why? The main worry is that the variant is significantly more transmissible than the original strain, which this I saw as I was watching some news broadcast on the particular on talking about the new strain. One of the questions or one of the comments made was, if it becomes more transmissible, is it less lethal, or is it, would it become less lethal because it's becoming more transmissible? So that's a question out there, so that's something to think about. This article may touch on that point as well. Let's dive a little bit deeper. It has 23 mutations in its genetic code. 23 mutations in its genetic code, a relatively high number of changes, and some of these are affecting its ability to spread. Scientists say it's 40 to 70% more transmissible. The UK government said on Saturday it could increase the reproduction R rate by 0.4. This means it is spreading faster in Britain, making the pandemic there yet harder to control and increasing the risk. It will spread swiftly in other countries. The new B.1.1.7 still appears to have all the human lethality that the original had, but with an increased ability to transmit, said Martin Hibbert, professor of emergent infectious disease at the London School of Hygiene and Tropical Medicine. Will vaccines protect against this variant? Scientists say there is no evidence that vaccines currently being deployed in the UK made by Pfizer and BioNTech or other COVID-19 shots in development will not protect against this variant. So, there's no evidence that it won't, but they don't know for sure yet. It's still in the unknown. It's unlikely that this will have anything more than a minor, if any, effect on the vaccine's effectiveness, said Adam Finn, a vaccine specialist and professor of pediatrics at Bristol University. Britain's chief scientific advisor, Patrick Vallance, also said COVID-19 vaccines appear to be adequate in generating an immune response to the variant of the coronavirus. We are not seeing any gross changes in the spike protein that will reduce vaccine effectiveness so far, said Julian Tang, professor and clinical virologist at the Leicester University. So one thing I will say, it appears that Al Jazeera has done their homework, because they have a lot of different quotes from many of these different experts in the field. So, but that means that they've reached out to a lot of experts and people to get this information. But remember, this is still something that people are learning about. Does the new variant affect testing? To some extent, yes. One of the mutations in the new variant affects one of three genomic targets used by some PCR tests. This means that in those tests, that target area or channel would come up negative. This has affected the ability of some tests to detect the virus, said Robert Shorten, an expert in microbiology at the Association for Clinical Biochemistry and Laboratory Medicine. Since PCR tests generally detect more than one gene target, However, a mutation in the spike protein only partly affects the test, reducing that risk of false negative results. So the tests have to get better, but we already knew that. Are other significant, well, you should have known that if you've been hearing about how many of the tests have been given false negatives and false positives, so that's something that's also a work in progress. Are other significant variants about? Yes, strains of the COVID-19 cause of virus have emerged in recent months in South Africa, Spain, Denmark, and other countries that have also raised concern. However, none so far has been found to contain mutations that make it deadlier or more likely to be able to evade vaccines or treatments. So this is something that they've been knowing. There have been other strains and variants of the COVID-19 virus popping up around the world. Mainly so far, what I notice here is European countries, or countries where there's a European presence. Did this virus originate in the UK? Valet said on Saturday he thought the new variant might have started in the UK. Some scientists in Europe have credited British expertise in genomic surveillance for identifying the mutation. The UK has one of the most comprehensive genetic surveillance programs in the world. 5% to 10% all virus samples are genetically tested. Few countries do better. Stephen Van Gucht, head of viral diseases at the Belgian Institute of Health, told a news conference on Monday. Okay, guys. So that's what's going on. There's a new strain that is out there, and it's not the first. They've been knowing about other strains popping up. And the question the verdict is still out on whether it can be deadlier or it will be more transmissible, easily more transmissible. The experts apparently seem to have doubts that it could be deadlier, but they're not ruling it out. And they're also saying that it'll affect testing to a degree, and so testing needs to get a bit better and catch up with the pace of which the virus is moving as it's mutating and developing different strains. So this is an ongoing story. I will keep my commentary here brief, as this is going to be a brief and short episode today, but I want to touch on a few topics and then keep it moving. So the next thing, guys, we want to talk about, and the thing is, the pandemic has caused a lot of businesses to shut down, people to lose their jobs, financial hardships for a lot of people. So what would it be if one were not to report on financial situations during this pandemic time? Because the health crisis has caused a financial crisis for many people and families around the world. So, but here in the United States, what happened recently is that the Congress passed a $900 billion stimulus package and stimulus package and aid relief package. And one of the elements of that package will be including $600 checks that will be sent out to every adult in the United States. And here, MarketWatch reports on it, but it reports on it from the angle of Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin, who said $600 checks will be sent out next week. So it says, second stimulus checks won't take long to process, Treasury Secretary says. Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin said Monday that the government would begin to send out $600 checks to millions of Americans next week. People are going to see this money at the beginning of next week, Mnuchin said in a televised interview with CNBC. This money will be recirculated in the economy and will help small business, the Treasury Secretary said. Another boost for small business is that they will also be able to deduct their expenses related to the Paycheck Protection Program. Mnuchin said President Donald Trump was pleased the legislation restored the deductibility of business meal expenses. Experts know that unemployed workers will see a lapse in their benefits no matter how quickly lawmakers act this week. Now, that'll be very important to take note of. If you collect an unemployment, you probably will see a lapse in your benefits, and you may have to, who knows how long before it restarts and gets going again. The bill also expected to extend the nationwide eviction moratorium for 1 month until the end of January. So for those that moratorium on eviction goes until the end of January, a little more time, not that much more time, but a little more time. Lawmakers released a text of the stimulus package in the early afternoon. Stocks were lower on Monday as investors grew worried about a new strain of the coronavirus identified in the UK. So, and also, the just a further update, the Congress had passed the bill today on Monday, and so as far as so I believe the bill will now head over to the Senate to pass it, and then they'll send it over to the President so that they can get the funds out there as soon as possible. And in the last piece for today, last time we spoke about Tesla, and we're going to talk about Tesla as well, because Tesla, it was Tesla's first day on the S&P 500, and it was it caused a stir in the financial markets as far as Tesla, the leading up to Tesla joining the benchmark of the S&P 500, and today it finally joined. So Tesla's shares fell 6% as it entered the S&P 500, but it held at 1.69% weighting of the S&P 500, being the fifth largest company entity in the index, in that index. So here we'll just briefly get into it. So Tesla's S&P 500 inclusion is official, and this is reported from CNBC, and its debut is not looking so good. The shares shed 6.5% on Monday as investors who bought the stock in anticipation of its entry into the benchmark cashed in. The stock fell to its session low following a report that Apple is moving forward with its electric vehicle production. That's another big story. We will pick that up on our next episode of the Block Report, because I was surprised to hear that Apple would be venturing into their own self-driving electric vehicle. So that's going to be something as well, especially since I'm not sure where, I don't think they have the amount of technology and data on the subject as Tesla does. But who knows? Who knows what they have? They're very, very tight-lipped about their the information that they have and the tools they have at their ability to use. The electric car maker has a 1.69% weighting in the index, the fifth largest. It is the sixth biggest company in the large cap benchmark when counting the share classes of Alphabet together. So Apple is the biggest one with over $2 trillion, right? And then the next is Microsoft at $1.6 trillion. After that is Tesla with Amazon at $1.3 trillion. Facebook at $600 and something billion. And Tesla at 500 and something billion. All right, so those are the top five. The historic addition of the S&P 500 put a bow on Tesla's outstanding 2020. The Elon Musk-led company has turned in five consecutive profitable quarters amid heightened demand for electric vehicles. Before Monday, Tesla shares had soared more than 730% this year, bringing the company's market capitalization to more than $658 billion. Wow. Um, Tesla's entry is the largest ever for the influential stock index and perhaps the most dramatic. Investors, including passive fund managers and active managers that use the S&P 500 as a benchmark, rushed into Tesla shares in the final run-up, pushing the stock up nearly 6% on Friday to close at an all-time high of $6.95 a share. Over 200 million Tesla shares changed hands during that single session, more than quadrupling the 30-day average trading volume. However, traders believe speculators were also betting on the stock in a short-term trade to get ahead of those index manager flows. They could exit the shares now that it has made it officially into the index. Many investors also believe Tesla shares are priced for perfection and vulnerable to a sell-off with a lack of catalyst into year-end. Reuters reported Monday afternoon that Apple is targeting 2024 to produce a vehicle that could include its next-level battery technology. Trading at 186 times forward earnings, Tesla is also one of the most expensive companies to ever join the S&P 500. However, its impact on the benchmark's valuation turned out to be smaller than many had expected. The S&P 500's 2021 price-earnings ratio will rise to 22.6 from 22.3, according to Howard Silverblatt, senior index analyst at S&P Dow Jones Indices. Meanwhile, as Tesla doesn't pay dividends, the S&P 500's dividend yield will dip to 4.53% from 1.56%, Silverblatt said. In terms of the S&P 500's performance, the high-growth stock could potentially move the needle. For every $11.11 Tesla moves, the S&P 500 changes 1 point, according to the index analysts. Goldman Sachs previously estimated that the S&P 500's total return would have been lifted by 2 percentage points had Tesla been a constituent all year. The S&P 500 so far in 2020 is up about 13%. So, Tesla has joined the S&P 500. It's been long awaited, long anticipated, and now the day is here. And as kind of was expected by a lot of people that were viewing the event, that yes, it would run up into the time of it getting into the S&P 500, but it would begin to dip. I, for one, am not a financial advisor, nor an epidemiologist or doctor, but I do have my own opinion, thoughts, and perspectives on things. I have an idea that if you want to see, if you were to expect the next time that Tesla's stock would run up, because it may take a dip for now, for the meantime, or it could just shuffle around, take a bit of a dip, and basically trade sideways for a little while, up until when the next earnings comes out, or when Tesla reports its recently fourth quarter inventory amount, fourth quarter totals of how many cars that it shipped. Because Tesla had said, now here's one of the reasons why I say that. Because a lot of the times, some of the flack that Elon Musk and Tesla was receiving, why people were so willing and willing to and eager to short Tesla or downplay Tesla, is because for a while they had made certain promises that they were going to deliver on. They said they were going to deliver on certain benchmarks or goals, and they were missing them. However, the believers in Tesla and Elon Musk never wavered, and they stuck with him and stayed down. So those are the ones who ended up benefiting and being rewarded for their belief in Elon Musk. However, I believe that when Tesla reports the amount of cars that it shipped for the fourth quarter, which the goal was for 2020 to ship, for Tesla was to ship 500,000 cars for the year, which is nothing compared to the other big automakers. But for Tesla, as it's been said, is Tesla's not a car company or a car maker. It's a technology company. And maybe something even a little bit more than a technology company, industry innovation disruptor of sorts, an industry creator, so an initiator. So with that being said, should they meet the goals that were set for the year, or even if they're a little bit shy, let's say they move 450,000, 470,000. But if they hit the mark, definitely hit the mark and sell 500,000 cars. And the other part to it, which I may have said this on the previous episode, is that, and they reach their goal of creating a battery for cheaper so that they can sell cars at a less expensive price. And say they achieve that within the early part of 2021, and they make their goals for the cars to 500,000 cars in 2021, you're going to see Tesla's stock jump up. I, for one, should Tesla achieve some of its lofty goals and situations and deliver on them, then there's definitely room to grow. Should they hit their targets, should Tesla hit their targets, you're going to see the stock price grow. So the whole thing is, it's a lot of people short the stock, but they may or may not quite understand the stock, or they just don't believe that Elon Musk can do what he's claiming to do, and they can't hit their targets. And that's how it goes sometimes. Some people may or may not see your vision, but they believe in you, and they believe you can make it happen. And so they're willing to put it on the line for you and ride with you. And some people probably don't feel that you could do it, don't have that kind of faith or belief in you that you could do it. And they're going to bet on the side that you won't meet the mark. But that's how it goes in life. Well, anyway, guys, this, of course, has been another episode of The Block Report. And I am your host, the Magnificent TDK, a.k.a. Tafari Excel. And yes, remember, you can email us at theblockreportpodcast@gmail.com with your thoughts, questions, suggestions, ideas. Also, your feedback, we appreciate it. You can follow, like, and share the Block Report podcast page on Instagram. And we would love for you to subscribe to the podcast wherever that you are able to tune into the podcast and listen to the podcast. So, of course, the podcast is being streamed on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and all your favorite streaming networks and platforms. So, as we come now to the end of the program, what I will do is let you guys know that it's a pleasure for me to come on here and deliver this information and share some of my thoughts and ideas with you. And I look forward to hearing some of your comments and your feedback. So once again, from the Block Report Podcast at gmail.com, you can email us there. You can and we want you to subscribe to the podcast via those streaming platforms or networks that you're tuning in to hear us from, and like, share, and comment the page, The Block Report Podcast on Instagram. And you can also hit us up on @TafariXL, TafariXL on Twitter. So that's it, y'all. Till next time, you know, be safe, have a good time, be well, And we'll be back with another report straight from the block. Peace, y'all.